Just while we're waiting, many of our brothers and sisters in America were advised to not meet, so legislation required them not to meet this morning. And in the UK, numbers of churches who meet in public places and schools and things like that, their venues closed them for this morning. So loads of people all over the place trying to figure out, so how do we be God's body at this time? And we're grateful. We felt that the Lord wanted us to meet. Daniel, a few weeks ago, just said, remember in the scriptures, it said, don't stop meeting as some are in the habit of doing. So we carry on meeting until NHS or whoever tells us that it's not wise to do so. So that's why we came to the decision we did. We had an epic trustees meeting on Thursday evening as we weighed all of these things. Right, I'm going to crack on with the preach now. We're not going to be preaching from the book of Acts this morning. I really toyed with it, do I, don't I? And I actually felt it wouldn't have been prudent to not address how do we believe, how do we as believers react at a time like this? And so that's what I'm going to do this morning. And I would imagine that a number of us in this room have faced various crises in our lives, but I don't think we've ever seen anything as widespread and as international and debilitating as this in our lifetime. But you know, as we read the scriptures, as we read the Bible, and this morning lots of stories from the Bible have been quoted all over the place as people have been encouraging each other. I'm sure your devotions have been that way as well. But as we look at the scriptures and as we look back in church history, we can see how brothers and sisters have believed and trusted Jesus and behaved in a particular way during times of crisis. So we're going to do some of that this morning and hopefully be encouraged in how we live out the gospel and how we present the gospel to each other, remind each other, but also to people out in the world around us. And as I said in the letter that we wrote to the Jubilee family on Friday, I'm incredibly grateful for God's love, I'm sure you agree with me, and His care, and His miraculous peace. It should be something that should define us as His children at this point in time. And it's interesting how people behave when the fragility of life comes into focus. But I want to remind us in the West, in Britain, that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, in other parts of the world, this is their daily reality. We're just facing it at the moment in an interesting way. But many people around the world, this is their weekly concern. Am I going to get something that's going to kill me? Am I going to have enough food? Toilet paper is a luxury. You know, so it's very different. And we need to be reminded of that. This week, in my prayer time, I've been interceding, but I've also been very grateful to the Lord where we live. We are privileged people as well. Let's not forget that. So my game plan for this morning, I've tried not to over-prepare the preach. I've gone really, really, really simple. I want it to be organic. I want it to be participatory. There's going to be a part that you're going to play in the preach this morning. Now, many years ago, Charles Spurgeon, who planted this church, when we read church history, he admired the Puritan ministers who, during the Great Plague of London in 1665, the Puritan ministers stayed behind and treated the sick. Where everybody ran away, they stayed, and they did God's work amongst the ill. And Spurgeon said he was always, he admired them for that. And then in 1854, Spurgeon, he was a young pastor, and there was a major cholera outbreak that was killing loads and loads of people in London. And Spurgeon was always known as a phenomenal preacher, but I want to tell you the thing that took backseat was his time preparing sermons, and he spent most of his time visiting the sick, mobilizing people to do so. And so I've tried to do that this week as well, just waiting on God. What do we do as a church? Praying for people, and I think that's what we need to do. Lots of practical showing of Jesus' love to people. So we love God's word, we prepare God's word well, but actually at a time like this, it flows out of yourself. It's the stuff that's in you. off of years and years of trusting God and being in His Word. So I hope some of that just comes out this morning. So there's 3 points this morning, really. Fear not. Live Jesus' way. Live Jesus' way. I wish I had a snappy title for that, but it is what it is. Live the way that Jesus would want us to live. And then the third part of it is going to be prayer. Okay, so we're going to look at why don't we fear? How do we live Jesus' way at this point in time? And then right at the end, we're going to pray. I've got some points for us to intercede on behalf of others. So, 2 Timothy 1:7, it was interesting. It came up, Sophie read it in the prayer meeting this morning. It's such a wonderful passage. Paul talking to Timothy, and he reminds Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." God has not given you as a child of God a spirit of fear. He has given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we need to take that scripture and memorize it, know it, and speak it to yourself. Say, God, you have not given me a spirit of fear. When fear comes upon us at times, and I'm sure there'll be moments, I've spoken to so many people this week who have been feeling fearful. And I've been saying, immerse yourself in God's word, worship. We started this morning by worshiping and acknowledging who God is. Lift Him up, praise Him, put Him in where He belongs. And then we speak the word to ourselves, say, I want to appropriate this for myself. God has not given me a spirit of fear. When it comes upon me and I watch something on the news and I feel fearful, no, God, you have given me a spirit that is not fearful. But more than that, it's not just the negative that I don't have, it's that I have power and strength. Power from the Holy Spirit. I've got love, supernatural love that will allow me, like the Puritans did, to love people when everybody wants to avoid them. We've got to be wise. I'm not saying be foolish, okay, at all. But we have got power. We have been given supernatural love to love people, and in particular a time like this, and a sound mind. Self-discipline is how the NIV puts it. We ask God for, I said this earlier, we ask God for wisdom and we trust that He gives us wisdom. Ask God for wisdom as you navigate how you lead yourself, your family, people that you love and care for. Ask Him and trust Him that He's going to show you how to do that. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I actually want you to say that with me, please. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But He has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. That's ours. It's from God. When that starts being stressful in your life, just say, no, God, You've given me not a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Psalm 46. I love the fact that Ronnie came up here and read Psalm 23. Louise and I use Psalm 23 to speak to our spirits a lot of the time. Just say it to yourself. Remind your mind and your spirit of what God's word is. And I'm going to do this with us now, just as an example. This is the way Louise and I would read the scriptures. If you're feeling fearful or you're concerned about somebody, you go to a psalm or a passage of scripture and you say to yourself, this is what I believe. This is what God says. I believe it. That settles it. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. He's an ever-present help in trouble. Isn't that amen? Hey, I'd love some amens today, okay. Therefore, because of that, we will not fear. Stuart, when you're feeling fearful, no, I'm not going to fear. Why? Because God's my refuge and He's my strength and He's my ever-present help in trouble. So fear not, Stuart. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, bad stuff happens. Bad stuff has always happened. Bad stuff happens. Bad stuff's going to happen. That's life. It is a result of the fall. These things have come as a result of the fall. What happens when those things are taking place? Well, the psalmist is encouraging us. He says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Where does God dwell? He dwells amongst us. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations that he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. This is important, verse 10. He says, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. That's powerful stuff for us to take hold of. And then God says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Look at each other and say, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Those watching, fear not. Fear not. Jesus, time after time after time, told his disciples and he would tell us, fear not. Don't be afraid. Second point. Live Jesus' way. So how do we live Jesus' way? I'm going to use a passage of scripture, talk it through again, and hopefully there's some little nuggets in the way we live this. Philippians 4 and verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. I will suggest it again, rejoice. It doesn't say that, does it? Rejoice in the Lord when everything's going well. I'm going to suggest it again, rejoice. No, Paul says to the Philippians, where was Paul writing this from? He was in prison. Let me tell you what, if you go back to that time in history and you're in prison, prison was not a safe place to be. It was not a safe place to be. Paul is sitting in prison and he says to the Philippian church, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's Paul who's writing and living it out in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. In other words, this is so important. If you missed it the first time, I'm going to tell you again. Rejoice. It's so countercultural. Rejoice always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Brothers and sisters, we've got an opportunity to live out the gospel in our time while everybody is panic buying. And I'm not saying we don't have stocks. We need to make sure, you know, we've got what we need for our family. But panic buying out of fear does terrible things to people. Makes people horrible and thoughtless and greedy and self-centered. We, as God's children, need to be rejoicing. We need our gentleness to be evident to everybody around us. There needs to be a peace about us as we go through things. Doesn't mean that bad stuff ain't going to happen. But in everything, we will walk in peace. And let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Paul's giving us the clue. He's saying you can do this not because you are clever or because... he's saying you can do this because God is with you. Lean into God. We started this morning with worship because we want to lean into God all the time. The Lord is near. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation that's going on, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I'm glad it mentions thanksgiving in there. As I was mulling over this passage this week, I thought, God, I want to say thank you for your incredible provision. I want to say thank you that we live in the nation we live in. I want to say thank you that medication is available. I want to say thank you that we have, as much as we're going to pray and intercede for the NHS just now, but we are far more fortunate than many, many people on this planet. I'm thankful. Thank you, God, that you care for me. Thank you, God, that you are in control of things in my life. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I think we need to pray. When you've run out of loo rolls, pray and ask God to give you wisdom on how to get some. Or, you know, those are the kind of things we, God's interested in all of that. We pray about everything. There's nothing we can't pray to God about. And then verse 7, this is a promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It is so foreign to the world. It's foreign to us as believers as well. That in any situation, God can give us supernatural peace. We need to trust God for that. We need to fight for it. We need to say, God, I want to walk in that. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. My heart and my mind need to be held in Christ Jesus. And then I walk in peace and I walk in everything that God has for me. You know, just if I speak into some of the fear things that I've spoken to people about even in the past few days, I was thinking to myself, what makes us think that I had any more control of my life 6 months ago than I do today? What makes me think that 6 months ago I could control my next breath and now it's a little bit scary. I can't control my next breath. I can die like this for any reason. So can you. So we trust God for my days. Our daughter Leah's got a lovely phrase she uses. She says, I am immortal until Jesus says otherwise. Until Jesus says no. And actually, and even then, she always says, but I'm already walking in eternity, in eternal life. I'm a child of Jesus. I'm going, there's a momentary blip when I die between me closing my eyes and opening them in the presence of the Lord. But I'm already walking in eternal life. So why am I fearing? Verse 8 of Philippians, it says there, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's why we still sing happy birthday. We still celebrate babies getting born. Life carries on. We celebrate those things. Focus our minds, take our minds captive to focus in on the good things and worship God in those things. And then Paul finishes off, he says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put those things in practice. Live out Jesus' way, and the God of peace will be with you. And lots of this is about us loving our neighbor and being outward looking. Unfortunately, we've had to postpone going on international mission, but I want to tell you, we've got so much mission around us, it's unbelievable. Open, ask God to open your eyes to it. Ask God to give you opportunities, any place that you are, to just be able to articulate our hope in Jesus. Ask Him for those. I believe with all my heart we're going to have so many opportunities during this time. The church has always, always flourished during adversity. Always, throughout history. We've been reading about it in Acts. Is it any different today? So let's use these opportunities to share the good news of Jesus in our world. Be upward looking, be outward looking, love our neighbors, look out for those who are self-isolating, look out for people in our community who need shopping, things like that. Our life groups are just a practical thing. Our life groups are the primary place for pastoral care in our church at Jubilee. Connect in with your life groups, care for each other, love each other. We will, within the next day or so, have a much more concise plan on how we're going to just care for people. I'm concerned primarily for the elderly and those who are not able to go out shopping and things like that. We're just going to think how we do that as a church effectively. A reminder to be careful and sensible. We don't want to downplay anything, you know, hear what the NHS recommends, all those kinds of things. I've said in the letter, if you are ill in any way, don't hang around people. So let's be wise in all of these things, but let's not be fearful and let's not make knee-jerk reactions. Okay, so the game plan will come in the next few days. C.S. Lewis, this has been doing the rounds on social media. I think that's just, it's brilliant. And I'm going to read it to you if you haven't seen it already. But it's an article he wrote in 1948 when people were fearful of the atomic age and of the Cold War and nuclear bombs and things. And he wrote to Christians at that time on how to behave. I think, you know, if you think about our current situation, and instead of thinking atomic bomb, think viral, it's interesting what he has to say. I think by me reading it, I can say some things that I'd like to say, but I might get into trouble for saying. So there you go. I've said that out loud, haven't I? But there we go. So written in 1948, people were fearful. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb, he writes. How are we to live in an atomic age? I'm tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year. Or as you would have lived in the Viking Age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night. Or indeed as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics. But we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made. And the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. We are all going to be destroyed by an atomic... Sorry. Oh, dear. That was not on purpose. Promise, that was accidental. Trust me. I'm actually blushing. I'm actually going red. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. I love this. Praying, worshiping God, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. I think it's brilliant, actually. So we're going to finish off by spending some time praying and interceding. And what I'd like is, just as I go through these points, I'll lead us in our first one, just because I've already got most of the information. If I can go, Brenda, to the slide, please. I'm going to pray for those who are unwell in our community. And I've just put a few people on there. I'll just explain what they are. There's some people who should be on that list, but have asked for various reasons not to be on the list. But first person is Alison King. Her and Stuart are in Cyprus at the moment at their holiday home. She has got serious bronchitis. It's an annual thing that happens to her with her asthma, but she's really, really not been well at all. So she actually, up until last night, hasn't been able to speak. I think Louise had a bit of a conversation with her last night, but really coughing and spluttering. So pray for her. She's on antibiotics and in Cyprus. And then Inga, if we can pray for her, firstly for healing, but also she has to have some chemotherapy and she's got to make some decisions about it. And they're planning at the moment to do that in May and June. So she's feeling really, really anxious about that. Can I ask that we continue to pray for healing for her and also for the doctors to have incredible wisdom and for she's walking in peace. But just pray for continued peace for her at this stressful time. Pray for her, just her immune system and her strength even at the moment as well. And then Fionn, Chris and Neve's little girl, they're actually in America at the moment and Lord willing are flying, sorry? It's Daffeth and Sandra's son, Chris, and his wife, Neve, their little girl, Fionn, is they're in America at the moment, and she took ill while she was there. They tested her, and she does not have coronavirus, but there was a few moments, a few days where things were a little bit scary for them. But they are trying to get home this evening. I believe that they'll fly home this evening. So pray for that everything goes right on the flight as well, and for continued health for Fionn. And then the Goodalls, please pray for them. There are a number of us who are on a communication with them via WhatsApp, but they are coming out for her sister's wedding, which they've booked and will be able to get out. But the time where they believe that the flights will be cancelled is when they were going to go back. So just wisdom on what they do there. They could end up coming to the UK and staying out here for a lot longer than they would like to, which has implications on their ministry in Madagascar. And then a big one, can we just pray for the elderly and other vulnerable people in our church? You will most probably have a long list of people in your own minds. We will most probably need to connect some of the elderly in our church who are in Catherine and Debbie and Beryl's life group, just to help them out at the moment. We might connect some of those elderly into other life groups just so we can do this more effectively over the next little while. Please pray for them and intercede for them. So I'll pray, and then I'm going to ask that we all collectively, you can sit or stand, but pray out loud. If you're new to Jubilee, God is omnipresent, but he's also able to hear all of our prayers at the same time. So as we pray, just raise our voices, intercede. Prayer is a key part of what we do as believers, okay? This matters, and God hears the prayers of his people. So I'll pray. In fact, you know, let's do it the other way around. Let's all pray, and then I'll wrap up in prayer afterwards. So let's go. Raise our voices, pray for those people. And then I'll wrap up in prayer. Let's go. One, two, three. Father, I want to pray for all of these people. I want to pray for them. Thank you that we can come together and intercede for our brothers and our sisters. We want to say thank you for that. Lord, thank you that with each of the people on that list and the many people who are not on that list, that you are with them right now in their places. I want to thank you, Lord, that we can bring them to you. I want to thank you, God, that you are the God who heals. And we would ask for healing for those who need healing, for wisdom for those who need wisdom. Lord, that you would break through, that there would be unbelievable miracles, that people would, after this event, say, God did this, and that you would be given the glory and the reward, not the reward, the glory and the praise for the things that you have done. Lord, we have nowhere to go but you on many of these things. And Lord, where we think we've got other things that we can go to instead of you, we're wrong. Lord, our dependence and our hope is on you. So Lord, would you be with Alison and with Stuart? Would you be with Inga, with Fionn, with Chris, with Neve, with the whole Goodall family? Lord, all of the elderly in our congregation, the many people who are older and more, maybe a little bit more infirm, for vulnerable people in our community. Lord, I want to pray that you would protect them, look after them, and be glorified in all of this afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, the next slide. If I can have somebody who volunteers to pray and wrap this up at the end, but we're going to pray for our government, for other governments in the world. This just affects so many people, for wisdom there, for the scientific and the medical communities who are busy working on how we treat people, that there'd be wisdom there, breakthroughs there, and also that we would have a speedy vaccination for this as well. So can we pray into that? Can I have a volunteer to come and wrap this up at the end? Okay, come on, David. Make your way up so long. Let's pray. On the count of three, all out loud again. One, two, three. Father, I want to thank you that you encourage us to pray for our governments. And Lord, I want to pray that there would be a wisdom in the way that our governments...
Father God, we thank you that we have a government. Lord, we thank you that we have a government that's trying to follow scientific advice. Lord, we ask for immense wisdom, Lord, for the people making decisions, for the people advising, for the people trying to work out all the maths and the science behind spreads and how to control that and when people should stay away from others and when they shouldn't. And Lord, I ask that you will guide and shape them. Lord, I ask for those people developing vaccines that you will give them success in what they do. Lord, they would be able to come up with effective vaccines with little to no side effects, Lord, that can be mass produced. And Lord, just accelerate what they're able to do naturally. Lord, I ask that you will bless the talents and the skills that you have given them. And Lord, I ask for other governments around the world, Lord, that you'll help them to work together effectively and make good decisions. Lord, let them be governments that serve their people and their communities and look out for the vulnerable people and the people that are, Lord, that are less resourced and things. Lord, let our leaders look out for those that are in need. And Lord, we pray for our medical communities. Lord, we ask that you will keep them safe. Lord, we ask that you will, Lord, that you will give them what they need, but also that our countries and our logistics will give them the equipment they need as well. Lord, thank you that you are sovereign. Lord, thank you. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, you're the one that puts governments in place and you take governments away. Lord, thank you that ultimately you are the one that is above the nations. Amen.
Thank you. The next slide was for frontline medical staff, but David's already covered that. So think of people. I wasn't clear. It was my bad on that slide. But please pray for doctors, nurses, wisdom, police, all sorts of people who... on the ambulance drivers, etc. Then point four, people on low income who are struggling to live normally with all the panic buying. We've got lots of people, and this hits the poor really hard as well. We'll give you some information on food share over the next little while as well, but just people on low income trying to make ends meet. People's jobs and things are being impacted at the moment as well. So let's just spend some time praying in that. And then can I have somebody to come and wrap up on that at the end? Let's pray. One, two, three. Father, I want to pray for those amongst us.
Father, it says in your word, do not fret, it tends only to evil, Lord. And people's fear that extends down to their food and even they buy in their household and the knock-on effect of that with people who can't afford to feed their own families, Father. And Lord, we are instructed to be there for the poor and to help the poor and to live like Jesus in our communities, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that where people are struggling to make their ends meet, where they can't find the food to feed their families, Father God, that you have Christians in place to meet those needs. And Father, as people, as this thing grows and however it happens, Father God, and as people put themselves into positions where they isolate themselves from communities, Lord, I pray that your church be the people who are there, out there, meeting those people, taking the precautions, but being Jesus to the people who don't have Jesus, Father God. And I just pray that food needs in this country are met by all who need it in the name of Jesus.
Right, and then I'm going to wrap up in a moment, but if we can pray for gospel opportunities, and that we, just as Jono has been praying as well, we can be Jesus' hands, feet, and mouth in our community at the moment. Is there somebody who'd wrap that up? Thank you, Sophie. Right, let's pray. One, two, three.
Father, thank you that I'm just so aware that there's nothing that anybody can actually do right now against this virus. There isn't, doesn't, you know, other than the actual current things that people are doing to put in place. It's causing such fear and worry in so many people. And as we've heard and read this morning, we don't have spirits of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I just ask that you give us a boldness to share you, Father, with people who don't know you, because they are scared. They do not know where to turn. We pray, Father, for every person in this nation to turn to you in this time, that in their worry and fear and anxiety, they cry to you, that they seek your face, that you meet them in dreams and visions, and that you meet them through us, that you will nudge them and help them to realize that there's nothing that they can do, Lord. Like we've heard this morning, we're all going to meet death one day. Help us to know, Father, that when we meet you, Lord, we're going to meet you in heaven. And I pray that you help us to share that message with people, that they can meet with you here and now, not just when we die and come to be with you because we have Jesus in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will give us that boldness, that you help us to spread that message of hope and good news, Father, and peace in the midst of anxiety and fear and worry and stress. I pray that there be something about us as a people that shows your glory, Father, and that people will recognize and see your Holy Spirit, and that it will come flow and be natural, Lord, and that you will just give us that boldness to speak out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right, so you and I take God's peace and his love out into the world, disseminate peace, not fear. When people are putting stupid things on Facebook that are not true, counteract it if you can with things that are positive. Let's keep our heads at this time. There's a great Anglican Church dismissal that I want to read, okay? And I just think it's absolutely brilliant. So the dismissal is as you're leaving. And as you go into the world, now we're going to have some refreshments and go and get our kids. Don't go without getting your kids. But I think this is lovely. Brothers and sisters, go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Christ. Amen. Isn't that a great Anglican dismissal? I think that's phenomenal. All God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go.